Today we are going to look at a collaboration. It's between RNIB and Motability Foundation. We're going to chat to John Worsfold from RNIB. We've got Nicola as well with us from Motability Foundation. Nicola, I'll come to you first of all, actually. So tell us how the collaboration came about.
At the Motability Foundation, we fund, support, research and innovate so all disabled people can make the journeys they choose. As part of this work, we want to ensure we're supporting a wide range of disabled audiences, including blind and partially sighted people. We know we can't solve the transport barriers faced by those with sight loss on our own, so we saw a partnership with the RNIB as a really good opportunity. RNIB also has an excellent track record of working with the technology sector to influence accessible design. Knowing, of course, technology plays a big role in accessible transport, we saw a great opportunity to learn from RNIB specifically in this area. We'd funded RNIB previously on their Inclusive Journeys report. So now we're at this space where we're still funding incredible research. There's still fantastic research coming out, but we're now really building on this evidence bed to kind of now really put into practice what solutions and recommendations and, yeah, find solutions to the problems that we've uncovered.
John, if I can just come to you as well, that collaboration, does that give you a better understanding of the world around our customers, our services, etc., and look at some of these key points in a better way?
The collaboration with Motability Foundation effectively unshackled us a little bit and gave us the freedom to look at some big projects going forward. And I think this partnership is about innovating and pushing those barriers further that we just couldn't do with current funding. So by joining forces, we've been able to combine our expertise, resources, lived experience to drive real innovation and influence in both industry and policy. And we've got three projects. So the first one we call Travel Well with Tech, that focuses on blending technology, human factors to unlock travel independence for blind and partially sighted people. The second is what we call Joint Innovation Working, and this is our rapid prototyping lab, I guess, tackling real-world barriers through co-creation. And then our third project is what we call Future Journeys, and it uses speculative design techniques to provoke and inspire industry in terms of instigating change and improving inclusive transport.
For blind and partially sighted people, especially I would say with technology, you know, more off-the-shelf technology being more accessible, you know, that all helps getting around.
Travel World Tech is a technology-based project that explores the biggest travel barriers for blind and partially sighted people. Our goal is to identify a range of accessible, digitally driven solutions that would and could empower more people with sight loss to plan and make more journeys. Now, initially, through engaging with blind and partially sighted people, we researched what technology people used and made journeys, like you've mentioned, such as smartphones, apps, GPS products, mobility aids. However, one of the key things that we found in the research was whilst technology is a huge enabler, the greatest obstacles are more human. People also need a means to acquire the awareness, skills, and confidence to use it. So to help to address this, we developed something called Hierarchy of Solutions to understand how people's confidence, awareness, and motivation evolve as they become more independent travellers. So in effect, enables us to map a journey from a humanistic point of view of I won't, I can't, I might, I will, and ultimately I can. And using that model, that then helps us to design and offer the right support at the right time. So we're not just offering technology, but we're building confidence and skills too. So right now we're working closely with blind and partially sighted people in co-designing and co-creating some prototype learning resources so together we can build something that really works in practice, not in theory.
So we have a project called Joint Innovation Working. It's a unique kind of problem-solving project where we strive to take some problems and find really quick, tangible solutions to them. So you do it over a space of a few weeks. You work really closely with the end users. So in this case, it's blind and partially sighted people. Understand the problem from their perspective, create solutions with them, prototype them, so it might be mock-ups, and get feedback incredibly quickly. That way you uncover solutions that have the potential to be implemented really quickly. So to give an example, the first sprint, we looked at the challenges accessing secondary healthcare appointments. building on existing research, we found that the everyday transport challenges of everyday life are exacerbated when attending healthcare appointments. Hospitals are often out of town, they often have limited transport links, there's a lack of information when you're attending them, they can often be in short notice. Coupled with all the anxieties of attending a healthcare appointment, we found the barriers here to be really kind of heightened. So as part of the sprint, we kind of uncovered what information and what support is needed and when to help make this a lot smoother.
Those two projects, if you like, they're almost joined together, aren't they? There's physical tech solutions, but there's also solutions that could come from individuals as well to improve that journey, improve that visit, improve that outcome. So it's not purely a technology-based thing here.
Exactly. There's so many variables in people's experiences. You know, some people don't want to use technology at all, or they're really geared up for using technology, or with the right learning support, they could use technology. But actually, when you add in different factors, such as the health scenario, it's just a totally different picture. And there's different nuances that we're trying to understand. But yeah, they speak to each other, because you can imagine if the amazing technology was there, well, attending a healthcare appointment out of town at short notice would be a lot easier. But there's still, yeah, still some nuances there which set it apart.
Indeed. And John, that third project?
This one's a bit different. It's called Future Journeys. And it's about provoking and inspiring the transport industry to make inclusive design standard practice by reimagining what our future transport systems could actually be like if they were designed with accessibility and inclusivity in mind. And we're doing this through the visual medium of film called speculative design, which is about imagining future possible scenarios and creating prototypes to provoke new thinking. So unlike traditional consultation where people are asked for feedback on existing ideas, speculative design brings together people with lived experience and industry partners to sit in the same room to co-create and understand the problems and the solutions from the ground up. So to achieve this, we've been running a series of immersive workshops, bringing together a diverse range of people from across the sector, transport providers, policymakers, technologists, designers, and of course, people with lived experience. And these workshops are both mapping the current challenges, the pain points, the opportunities to create that accessible world that we all desire. We're not looking at small fixes here, Alan. This is about surfacing systemic issues in the sector and real challenges that people with sight loss face today.
It does sound like you're talking about, you're looking for these solutions at the drawing board stage. It's not, right, here's the problem, let's try and retrofit something to fix that. So having that lived experience from the very beginning, and let's face it, we've heard of projects before that have had no, I'm going to use the example of blind and partially sighted people, involved in the creation of a solution or a product for people with sight loss. It is obviously the way to do it, because these are the people with the lived experience that are going to tell you, or the creators of the services or products, what the problems are and what the solutions have to be.
It humanizes the issue, absolutely. I mean, our first workshop was all about immersion and empathy, so that, you know, you've got 40 or so industry stakeholders in a room with people with lived experience explaining what it's like to try and travel on a transport system that isn't built for them. We live in a society where we're expecting the individual to adapt to the service, and the service should be created fit for purpose for the individuals, not the way around it is today. We're documenting the entire process as short little documentary films so that industry can see what we've done, see who's been involved, see what the process is. And then, of course, we've got this final film which will articulate inclusive travel or what it could look like to provoke and inspire the transport sector to take action.
Nicola, collaborations do work well. There can be some bumps in the road too. Are there ever any concerns when you go into something like this about could there be any barriers, or do you go into it thinking this collaboration is going to work from start to finish?
Yeah, of course you go in thinking and planning as much as you can, but it's, you know, it's hard to preempt all the detail that follows. We're finding a lot of pros from working together. You know, the diversity of thought, we learn a lot from each other, we get fresh perspectives. even simple practical things. I think myself and others at the foundation, we're learning a lot about making work and workshops and meetings all accessible to people with sight loss. And of course, learning so much about the transport barriers faced by blind and partially sighted people. I think another strength from us working together is our joint contacts, essentially, and networks. We're able to gather wider industry buy-in than either of us could do independently. Part of the Future Journeys project already begun influencing a huge number of industries that I think it's probably fair to say neither of us could have done that independently. Of course, there's always going to be, when you have two large organisations working together the first time on innovation projects, which, you know, innovation itself is always, it's, you have to be iterative, you have to be flexible, you have to be creative. Of course, there are challenges, but essentially at the beginning, we spent quite a bit of time at the offset discussing how we wanted to work together. We took the time to get to know each other. And we said up front, we said, you know, we want to be honest and open with each other. We'd much rather feedback little and often. And I think we've built really strong, trusting relationship with each other.
Well, as someone who is a guide dog owner and uses technology a lot, this is something which is of great interest to me. And John, if people want to find out more about the work and how it's going, is there a way to do that?
There certainly is. If people would like to find out more or get involved, there's information on the RNIB website, rnib.org.uk/motability-foundation. Also, Future Journeys Project has its own microsite providing more information, which is at future-journeys.com.
We'll certainly look forward to the results of the research for the moment. To John and to Nicola, thank you both for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.